and ask that you continue to pray for me in the time that I stand before you. I'll take no more time than the Lord gives. I will say that in this weekend, I've seen many labors, both in natural things and spiritual things, in prayers and works that have benefited me. They've benefited me so greatly. And all I can ask is that the Lord repay you, because I cannot. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I would like to look at 2 Samuel chapter 19. I believe the first time I was ever stood in this pulpit, I believe I preached on Mephibosheth. My intention to serve leftovers, and I don't know that I've ever spoke on this part, but about 3 o'clock Thursday on the way over here, my thought came to me, and I hope to share that with you. Mephibosheth is so beautiful to me, partly just because it's the Lord's Word, and partly because I feel like I have a lot in common with him.
Amen.
Just as an introductory, we see the first time that Mephibosheth is mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 4. And we find the reason of the condition that he's in. That in fleeing, he fell and became lame on his feet. We too are lame on our feet because of the fall. We find him mentioned again in 2 Samuel chapter 9. When David, when the Lord had given him peace and rest, he said, "Who is there left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness to?" And Ziba was called and said, "There is one, Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, who dwells in the land of Lodabar, in the house of Maker." I think it's the son of Amiel. Lodabar is a pastureless land. And then the Maker is a salesman. So he was dwelling in the house of a salesman in a pastureless land. And the Lord calls him and brings him to his kingdom. And he shows such great kindness. He was expecting, I believe, condemnation. He was the son of a traitor, the grandson of a dead traitor. Yet the king showed kindness on him.
Amen.
And when brought before the king, all he could say is, "What is thy servant? Yeah. Thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am."
Yeah.
He showed him such great blessings. He restores him to many things that he had lost from his father. And then he gives him more.
Amen.
He gives him more. And tells him to sit at my table. Me among my sons. And it ends that chapter in a very peculiar way. The last words of that chapter in chapter 9 says, "And he was lame on his feet." The life I would like to think about and look about is between 2 Samuel chapter 9 and 2 Samuel chapter 19. The time that he spent in the king's house. And I think I have authority for what he says in chapter 19 to kind of get the mindset of how Mephibosheth looked at some things. How he thought of himself and how he thought of the king.
No, look at that.
I can't help but think that this poor man that's lame on his feet, that every step he takes hurts. That he's dwelling in the king's house. Bear with me in my folly, but I see him walking down maybe one of the aisles or the corridors of the kingdom, and you say, "How are you doing, Mephibosheth?" He says, "I'm just happy to be here."
Yeah.
"I'm just happy to be here."
Yeah. Amen.
I can see him sitting around the king's table with his sons. And they might be complaining that they burnt the brisket a little too much. And they look at Mephibosheth, and he's over there eating down. He says, "It tastes good to me." Maybe one of them said, "My bed was a little lumpy last night." And then Mephibosheth said, "It's a whole lot better than what I had in the bar.
Right.
It's a whole lot better than what I had out there." And maybe they had men singers and songs and things of music. And one might say, "Well, that one's a little off key. That's not my favorite song. I don't like that one." And Mephibosheth was sitting there thinking, "It's so beautiful. There's no singing in Little Bar. There's no music where I came from. There's music in the king's house. And it's beautiful to me." I see so many Mephibosheths in the church today that are just happy to be here.
Amen.
They're just happy to be where the singing is, to be where the food is. I think of Proverbs 27, verse 7. It said, "To a full soul loatheth the honeycomb.
Yeah.
But to the hungry, every bitter thing is sweet."
Amen. That's right.
We heard of some honeycomb last night. And if you're full and you loathe it, I'm sorry. But it was sweet to me. I don't think anybody loathed it. Don't get me wrong. There might be some that come in and say, "That it was okay. Took too long. Whatever time. Whatever it might be. It was sweet to me."
Amen.
The honey that we've had this weekend,
amen,
is sweet to me.
Yeah.
And I believe it's sweet to you. Because we're hungry.
Yes, sir.
I believe we know and we remember, and I trust that we always remember what Lodabar was like. What living in the house of a salesman felt like. How hard the beds were. How sparse the food was. That you were laying on your feet and that you were brought to sit with great men. I trust. I feel like the Lord's church would be better with more Mephibosheths.
Yeah.
A lot more Mephibosheths and a few less Zibas. We find in the 16th chapter, Ziba, one who was commanded to keep the things of Mephibosheth and to serve him, bring some things to the king as he was fleeing Jerusalem for Absalom. Brings him a bunch of gifts. And then lies about Mephibosheth. And so he stayed behind. He wanted to stay behind because he said, "Today my father's kingdom will be restored unto me." And King David gave all that he had given to Mephibosheth. He'd give to Ziba. And Ziba lied.
Right.
Ziba became not content with what he had. He wanted more.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was not content in being a servant. He wanted the things for himself. But we come to chapter 19. In verse 24, it says, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down." Real quick, this is when the King David was coming back into his kingdom after Absalom was defeated. This is him returning to his kingdom. He said, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king." and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he had slandered thy servant unto my lord, the king. But my lord, the king, is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thy eyes. The verse, and this is the reason why I think I have authority to say the mindset of Mephibosheth, because it is his outlook at the beginning is the same as the outlook at the end. He says, For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What is right, therefore? What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? He said, I didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to eat at the king's table. I don't deserve to hear the singing of the saints, to hear the preaching of the gospel, to taste of the honey. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. If we were to lose it, what could we complain? And here's the thought that I had. If the Lord were to leave us, we could not follow. We are lame on our feet. Now, we have great and precious promises. Don't get me wrong. This is not something to fear. But it's something to take assurance in that he has said that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
And oftentimes, we forget how precious that is when we think of the alternative. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, in this life, sometimes we feel like the Lord is gone. If his presence has left us, I fear it might happen after this service when we have to go back out into the world. And on Monday morning, that his presence may not be felt. But we can't go where he goes. We are lame on our feet.
You're right.
It is of him that we live. He must come to us. We have no ability of our own to seek out our God and find him if he does not want to be found.
You're right.
I think of Solomon chapter 5. It said he was at the door and knocked. And what did the bride say? I put off my coat.
That's right.
I washed my feet. I've laid me down. Can I rise up again? And then when his hand moved upon the hole of the door, the bowels moved within him. And she got up. He was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she went about all the city looking for him. And he was not found. There are times in our lives when we feel like we can't find the Lord, like he has left us. He hasn't. But that fellowship can sometimes wane.
Yeah.
Oftentimes because of our own fault.
Right.
Because of our own lameness.
Right.
We are not where he is.
Right.
Thanks be to God. She does find him.
Thank you.
And we do find him. He has given us promises that if we seek him early, he'll be found. If we seek him with a whole heart, we will find him. Seeking, ye shall find. Knocking, it shall be opened unto you. We have promises. It's not a guess, but there are times when we feel like we're left. Back in that pastureless land. And yet he comes again to his kingdom. And we meet him.
Yeah,
and we're a little worse for wear.
Yeah.
We're a little unkempt. Our clothes are a little dirty. It's a little spotted from the world. Let me continue to read. In verse 29, and the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, let him take all. For as much as my lord, the king has come again in peace unto thine house, to thine own house, unto his own house. You see, when he comes back, we realize that the things that we have, they don't matter.
Right.
They don't matter. We're just happy that the king has come to his own house. The things in this world, when you come to church, they don't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is the Lord has came and dwelt with us, and comes and dwells with us, and that we have his presence again, that we eat at his table again, that we hear the singing again.
Yeah.
It is him that brings it. We don't bring it to ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This is of his own mercies. And I stand here today, and all I can say for the rest of the world, let him take all.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. As long as I have y'all. As long as I have this, as long as I have my Lord, I don't care what they take out there. They can have it all.
Amen.
Because this is what matters. This is what's joyous. I want to turn to one spot in John 13. In John chapter 13, starting verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now.
Yeah.
Thou shalt follow me afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave off that last part.
Right.
The disciples, I cannot imagine the sorrow
that
they must have went to. We have enjoyed our Lord. We have seen him through an eye of faith. We have not seen yet believe. We have seen him, as it were, through the lattice work, but they got to touch him. They got to hold him. They got to be held of him.
Yeah.
They got to enjoy a fellowship that none of us yet have enjoyed. And then he says he's going to leave and they can't go with him. Where he's going, they cannot come. Where the Lord is now, and we know where he is. He has ascended on high. He has left captivity captive. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, ever to make intercession for his people. And where he is, we can't go now. One day we will.
Yeah.
And when we do, our clothes will no longer be dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Our feet will no longer be lame. Our hair will no longer be unkempt. And we will say, let him take all.
Amen.
When we go to heaven, we won't miss anything here.
Amen.
We won't be worried about the ones left behind. They're in the Lord's hands. We won't be worried about the things we left undone, the things we've built up, the things we've been given, the things we've earned. We won't care about any of it, because now we're in the King's house with the King.
Amen.
We enjoy His presence, and none of the rest matters. We'll enjoy it to the fullest, and in that day, we will never have to worry about Him leaving again, because the work is finished. He won't have to leave and go do more work. He has entered into His house.
Right.
The work being finished. When I go home from the end of the day, my work is finished. And I go home where my bride is. And the Lord has gone home where His bride is. And one sweet day we'll be there. And we'll say, let Him take off. Singing there will be better than we've ever heard. If we eat, it'll be the best we've ever tasted. And I truly trust, if the question ever came up, that we just say we're happy to be there. May the Lord bless you, my friend.
Amen.